On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Sorry, man. I just had more
seriously.
More faith in you than you do, apparently.
Oh, come on.
Welcome to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob over there, Matt over here.
It's a terrible idea, man.
Open
terrible
your idea. Shit.
Open. I'm just finishing what I got.
Whatever. You can visit us at tallcanaudio.com. Give a follow. Send your hate tweets to @tallcanaudio on Twitter.
Send your hate tweets, please.
And check us out if you're one of the few remaining people still hanging out on Facebook. You can do that at facebook.com/tallcanaudio. We've also recently revamped the Patreon page. And much simpler, much easier to follow, way fewer levels. Check that out at Patreon.
That's some crazy good ideas coming your way.
Patreon.com/tallcanaudio. What's going on, man?
Well, part of it is me trampling your promo. Sorry about that.
Well, we took it out of the intro, so we got to get it off or get it out of the way here now.
You.
Maybe it's you.
See that? Give you a little space.
Crisp.
That was crisp. Not that flaccid crack you normally fire out there. Although that's you drinking your...
John Molson's Finest.
John Molson's Finest.
Feels like home, man.
Cape.
Cape.
That smells a lot like 14-year-old drinking behind the barn right there.
Swipe a couple out of the... I remember I got... only really gotten shit once for taking the old man's beer. And it really only amounted to... just leave one. When I get home on a Sunday, just make sure there's one.
You know what? That seems totally reasonable.
It does, but it doesn't at, 12:30 on a Saturday night.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Dad? How about stocking more beer in the fridge? How about that?
And honestly, I wasn't
I won't drink them all if you put more in there. Jesus Christ.
And honestly, I wasn't as early into my teenage years as most when it came to drinking and stealing beers and whatnot. But
I don't think I ever stole liquor or booze or beers from my parents, ever.
Got really desperate one weekend and had to steal like the peach schnapps or whatever out of the liquor cabinet?
Nope. Honestly, I always had older friends. Okay. I never had a shortage
of... an older brother, and that's a big part of...
Never had a shortage of places where I could go to snag up booze.
Because I know I have a younger cousin who never had to worry about where he was going to go, and then two younger sisters who were then later able to look to him, and younger cousins who could look to them. But being the top of the family, man, in terms of... kids.
You got to spread. You got to make your own connections.
Guess so. Lots to cover on this one. Last one that we did, which was episode 235. We covered basically everything to do with the NHL that wasn't the Stanley Cup final. Find that at tallcanaudio.com. Like I said, it was Tall Can Sports number 235. Getting a ton of downloads, man. I think there's a lot of hockey fans out there feeling underserved with the...
Yeah. Well, okay, but...
The 29 teams that aren't in the final. What about us, man? Well,
but to me, it was an interesting show because there was just a bunch of things to talk about that didn't really have anything to do with what was currently happening.
Yeah.
Right, and it sort of gets lost.
That's most of our shows. Long off the trail of where we were supposed to be, but we actually set out to do that one that way. And we talked about whether Phil Kessel was going to get dealt, talked about the Leafs management shuffle, talked about what else was on that one, man? The Evander Kane contract. Lots of stuff over
there. How it was going to be hooping everybody else.
Just a hooping.
Come on, man.
So like I said, check your podcast feeds for TCS number 235 or visit tallcanaudio.com.
If you got no lube, what about a little spit? Could we do that?
Not you and I, we, but crickets.
Just going to let that breathe.
Crickets. All right.
Mark Stone.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to ask you about Mark Stone.
I see. I even know before you do what you want to do.
Congratulations on this 1-for-400 that you're batting.
1-for-235.
Yeah, true. Why in the blue hell would the Colorado Avalanche not offer sheet the fuck out of Mark Stone this summer? So, the Colorado Avalanche to offer Mark Stone an RFA contract of somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 to $8 million.
Yes.
Would cost them a first, a second, and a third. They have Ottawa's first and third. So if there was ever a time to do it, and a penny-pinching owner that was, and I'm not saying for sure they'd let him go, but more likely than most to let somebody go, it might be right here, right now in this unique situation.
Wow.
It would cost you a second round pick to offer sheet Mark Stone.
I'm doing that.
For sure you're doing it. They won't because Joe Sakic's a good hockey man and they don't do that.
Why have I not heard this?
Well, so I was following a couple other Colorado guys on Twitter who were kicking this around.
That would be shrewd as hell.
Now is the time to do it. And they have room to do it. Rantanen's going to need a raise here shortly. And Zadorov is going to need a raise here shortly, but they have tons of cash.
I was going to say, is Rantanen due now?
A year from now.
Yeah, no, I'm holding on to that guy. If you bridge him or whatever you got to do. But
yeah, but
he's not putting up 85 points again.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, man, because they're going to have room to do it. I do think Rantanen could be, playing if he's going to play alongside MacKinnon. For another couple of years, he could get 85 points.
I am so wary of these sorts of the William Karlssons.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things, right? Where you go, 8 goals, 6 goals, 43 goals.
Yeah. I think we assume even if he comes back to 25 goals, they've robbed Columbus blind.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
But to stay on this, man, it would be, I don't know how often. And it's not like let's say that the deal they had made, Duchesne and Turris and all that stuff, didn't involve Ottawa. And they had someone else's first and a third. This would still be the time to go and know that you have that to go after Mark Stone. But the fact that it's Ottawa's picks is even...
Well, this is it. And you overpay a little bit, no problems.
Well, and that's what they said. They could go 8-2-5 on Mark Stone. Maybe that's legit. Like, it could be. But to land an asset like that at such a low cost, you pay the money.
That would be, to me, that's at least a 15% overpay at 8 and change.
Well, I think if you look at the market around, he's getting 7.
He's got to go north of Evander Kane. You're not taking.
No, he's a far better player than Evander Kane.
For sure.
Yeah. So, but because you're only giving up a second round pick, essentially, since you have Ottawa's first.
I totally get it.
I do 8-2-5.
If you go, if you overpay, honestly.
It has to be a number that makes sure Ottawa won't.
I was going to say, it's funny because it's not even my money, but I'm like, it's that 0.25 that I'm totally. totally balking at.
Right.
You go, yeah, overpay at 7.75, overpay at 8, because that is an overpay.
Yep.
But I'm doing it. If I'm Colorado, I'm absolutely – I got Ottawa in a spot where they need to resign Duchesne because of the huge price.
They want Carlson.
And now I'm pretty sure it would have to be their first and their third and second that comes back.
Yeah.
Like right now –
but you would do it.
We couldn't trade
– That's right.
We couldn't trade Pittsburgh's first round pick.
No.
They needed – somebody needs our first.
That's right.
Which is what Colorado needs. So
– But the point was – you would still have Ottawa's, so you still have a first-round pick, right? You can trade your first, your second, your third to get it done and still have Ottawa's first and third, so you're still picking in those rounds.
Oh, and you know what? I'm doing it. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if I can take off my Sens glasses, right, that is the perfect
– Man. You know,
if they
brilliant,
are,
and there's no chance they'll do it.
Yeah, which is sad.
It's so stupid, man. This is built into the CBA, and just GMs across the league have just essentially decided, no, we're not doing that. But well, this is, if ever
have,
there
why
was
have
a
it
time,
at all?
If there was ever a time, man, you've got somebody over the barrel, right? And
well, and they're looking at, and those that is the 19 and the 20 drafts. Those are the ones that are supposed to be off the charts good.
Yeah, well, and because you still have Ottawa's first-round pick, I don't think anyone expects Ottawa to be as bad next year as they were this year. But if they are, that's the Jack Hughes
for sure
draft, right? And you want to be in the lottery.
And I think if you just look at it and you go, oof, if they're going to flip Carlson out, four picks and prospects,
right?
Then maybe, you know what? Maybe you let him go.
It's an interesting spot, but
honestly,
that's
catching me completely at a left field.
And I hadn't really considered it either, right?
But I'm loving
I saw
it.
Someone else
but
talking
I'm loving
about
it if
online.
I'm somebody else.
Couple of Avs blogs that are talking about it as the best way forward here, and you go, get it.
Okay, right, so because here's the deal, though, if that goes down, right, and you let him go for a first, a second, and a third,
yeah,
right. And then you let Carlson go for picks. You've bottomed out.
Oh, and you're full rebuild. You're in great position for that rebuild, but you are all in on a rebuild.
All in on a rebuild. And really, I don't know if I'm hating that.
Well, yeah.
Wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Wait and see.
I wanted to talk just briefly about Gary Bettman mentioned it also in his
State of the Union.
Yeah. Address before game one of the Cup final. It had been floated around, and they are all but committed to putting technology in the puck for the start of the 1920 season. So not this coming season, but the year after.
And they were hoping to maybe test it in the 18-19 playoffs.
Right. And so essentially you're going to put some sensors in the puck that will allow you to talk about how fast the puck is moving, how quickly does it get from player to player.
They were saying it was going to give you feedback up to 200 times a second.
Yeah. Now, maybe this is not particularly prudent and not something we should be worried about, but does it mean we got ushers coming down every time a puck goes over the glass and you're going to have to give that back, right? Like, are those days over? I don't know how much these pucks are going to cost now, right, to put the sensors in. But maybe the days of just being able to take it home after you catch it are over. But
well, see, and I've never been, even from the time I was a kid going, I've never chased a puck. I've never lunged for a puck. I don't care. Psh.
Lots of people do, though.
They should get a life.
Okay. And I'm sure when this technology comes in, if they're coming around and collecting the pucks, they're coming down with, here's the Mark Stone, current Colorado Avalanche signed puck.
Here
or
is,
whatever, right?
Here's two tickets to the next home
sure,
game.
Sure, something like
whatever
that.
Whatever that
is. To get it back. Is the puck going from being worth a buck to being worth $30, $80? Like, we just don't know yet, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because this has been something that they've talked about for a while, and it's starting to make its way into other sports already. But the PA in all four major sports leagues are fighting hard against putting any kind of technology on the uniform. What does it do to an upcoming free agent if it turns out that there's a sensor in the jersey that determines he's now skating, you know, 8% slower than he did the year before. And the year before that, it was 9%. Like, is he on the – they don't want that information out there quite as readily, right? So I guess the first step is put it in the puck and let's see if we can get out of that.
Yeah. And really, it flies in the face of all of it. And
your face.
What they're selling, the data in the puck is – yes, that whole sort of info side that will help you with in-game stats, but they're saying it'll also help with the fan and their enjoyment of the game, right? As your thirst for more in-game knowledge, you know,
well, especially on the second screen, right? And that's like, I'm a second screen guy. As you're watching the game, I got Twitter going, and maybe I'll close that and check an app out to see, you know, ice time on somebody, or the MLB at Bat app is great for that. While you're watching the ball game, you can see an average through it, and then they change, right? Oh, the count's 0-2. Here's his average at 0-2. If you can start working that into the puck, right? And even just for interest's sake, right? What is the velocity on a Stamkos one-timer, right? Like, compared to Ovechkin, compared to whatever. And this came up as a question as it related to gambling being legalized across the U.S. And Gary said, we don't necessarily know yet what our play is going to be, how valuable this is going to be. But we're not giving it away for free. And he said those words.
And so he's still talking about data in the puck?
Yep,
or he's talking about gambling? Because to me,
well, in the puck, right? Because you could use it for game. Like, the more information,
yeah,
the more the prop bets start
spoken
to.
Spoken like a true lawyer.
No doubt.
I'm not sure what's going to happen yet. I'm not sure where I can use that.
But it ain't free.
But it ain't. You're not getting it for nothing.
Right. This is, to me...
Now, in the article, did you... To me, there was a great void in what you would use it for. Right?
Like, well, I do. I think...
You talked about the one-timer, speed of the puck, did it cross the goal line, those sorts of things that were left to your own imagination. But yep, beyond that, what are we talking about?
Well, to me, it's far more...
Zone time?
I think that's crucial, right? As we start to talk about Corsi, right? As we start to talk about these sorts of advanced statistics, this, to me, is all they can do right now until the next CBA. And the ultimate thing will be a sensor in the jersey. And that's what people are going to want, right? Exact ice time. How fast is this guy skating? We can tell you that, you know...
It's coming.
Phil Kessel is good for this and this and this when he's out with Malkin, but only does this and this and this when he's out with Broussard or whatever.
And we already see those, right? Now, there,
sure, but there's
much
more precise.
There's much more work that goes into those, right?
In
terms of ice time and people breaking down video and all that sort of stuff. You know, X amount of time with, in your example, Broussard, X amount of time with Malkin.
Right.
Production ends, you know, offensive zone time, blah, sure, blah, blah.
When you wonder, like, is that the only way this gets implemented is collectively bargain? Because the CBA or the Players Association, when it comes to the CBA, they don't want it because it's going to hurt guys.
But it's going to help guys.
Yeah, but this is the same as we see whenever we get to any kind of suspension talk. The CBA or the... Why do I keep doing that? The Players Association shows up only to defend the guy who's going to be hurt by this.
Right. Who cares about the guy?
The victim.
The victim who also is a dues-paying member.
Right. So, you know, we find out that all of a sudden, you know, JVR is a perfect example right now for the Leafs, right? They're probably going to let him go, assuming he's about to go on the downturn. We don't know yet. He just had his best ever goal-scoring season. But the conventional wisdom would suggest... He's about to go on it. They don't want anything that can just tell the world or even tell teams, even if it never gets to the public, that your guy, he's slowing down. You don't want to sign him again.
Yeah, JVR had 35 goals or whatever he had this year.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody's going to overpay for his 25 goals next year.
Yep.
That's.
But you don't want teams being able to see him or anybody, right, slowing down. It would have been super fascinating this year. Carlson coming off that injury. How fast was he skating in the first 10 games? How fast was he skating in the middle part? And then when they were clearly out of it, did he slow back down again? Or did he?
Yep.
No. All those sorts of
and
things.
And that's coming for all the other reasons other than just that, right? For the in-game stats, for the scouting, for your own team stats.
Right.
How can we better put our roster together? How can we better put our line combos
together?
That's going
to be the technology that can use it against you later. Yep. As a player.
I'm just saying, you already have your shelf life. Someone's going to pay you something anyways. You may balk at it. You may fight it. It's coming.
Yeah. I agree. Where were we going next?
Oh, we could go just about anywhere. Anyways, Brian Colangelo. And more of your Twitter action and people having multiple Twitter accounts.
So we're going to be careful here. Allegedly.
We don't want Brian Colangelo coming down heavy.
On the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Take it all, man.
Take it all!
We'll share the prudent information in all the usual places. But essentially, The Ringer is reporting that he appears to own up to 5 Twitter accounts.
He's admitted to 2.
Last I saw, he'd admitted to 1.
1 extra.
Yes.
And yeah, then his beyond real, his.
Yes. And it's something 1, 2, 3.
Filla, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. And essentially, he's using these accounts to defend himself. What a great move Brian Colangelo made. Or shit talk some of his players that maybe are underperforming. Urge the media to ask certain questions that might make him. And if you look at the following lists, things like he's still following, these anonymous accounts are following things like Upper Canada College, where his kid went to school when he was in Toronto, right? Things that when you start to piece them together, okay, how many anonymous accounts that aren't following very much are going to be following charities in Toronto and Philadelphia 76ers players,
yeah,
and, you know, legal offices that he has a stake in Arizona somewhere.
And they were saying there's bots and there's all kinds of things,
yeah,
that you can do that hammer out all those similarities. Yes. And you're like, wow, that's strange. And one was, you know, as you said, coaches of his kids'
yep.
sports teams. And you're like, you're following that, but you're also following this.
You're, point guard for the 76ers and a beat reporter who laced into you a couple of weeks ago. And so all of this right now remains unproven, and he's denying it big time. And he's contacting people that were shit-talked by these accounts, trying to smooth it over. There's a lot of people who have known Brian Colangelo. He's been around the NBA forever.
And his dad was a basketball lifer. Yeah,
Jerry Colangelo, I believe, was
yep.
his. And saying this doesn't seem like him. It's way too risky. It's whatever. And if you were going to set him up, this would be exactly the type of thing you would do.
Okay, but you know way better than I do on these.
On so many things.
On these sorts of things.
You can leave the edit breaks if you want. I don't have to acknowledge them.
These sorts of things can be traced right back to an IP address.
Yep.
Like,
so someone has already gone around and tried to. So you have a Gmail account or whatever, and you go yep. and you forget your password and you try and log in. And it tells you, we're going to send a text message with, you know, a clue or whatever to this phone number. It's star, 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 and it just gives you the last 2 digits.
Yeah.
All 5 have the same last 2 digits.
See? And yes, and these sorts of things, right, where you're like, yeah, the IP address is your fingerprint to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's locked down there. And it's all alleged. I don't want to get in. You know, I know we don't want to lose our shorts here at TCS. But yeah, when he's on there and he's taking shots at Toronto Raptors, you know, the guys who followed him.
Yeah.
He's taking shots at his own players.
Masai Ujiri, who followed him in his job.
Yeah. And he's taking shots at, what's his name? Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Right. Saying, if I had a medium sized ladder,
And that was only like 2 days ago.
I'd slap some sense into and you're like, really? Come on, man. That's
yeah.
Former employees of the 76ers.
Well, and Embiid's already on Twitter, like following these accounts back and retweeting them and having a good time with it. Like, do it. Get your medium-sized ladder. Right? Like, bring Eric Jr. or, you know, some of these other names. This whole thing is absolutely wild. And nothing's been proven yet, but it looks awfully fucking damning. And
does he lose his job?
I don't see how you don't. Because when you go back and you have to face your players who I guess it depends on how much of this you can prove. And if it's proven that this is him and it's legit, he's got to lose his job.
I think he's already admitted to one.
Go ahead.
And there was nothing damning, I think, in the one he's admitted to.
No, well, that's the one I would pick. That.
Yes, yes. I just, you go, that's very juvenile for a 52-year-old man to be.
I guarantee you, I can't do that. I bet you.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of pro sports general managers have these burner accounts. Now, what I would suggest is that most of them don't tweet in defense of themselves. Most of them maybe don't tweet at all. But it is an easy way to keep a thumb on the pulse of the media, the fan base. And maybe you don't tweet to defend yourself, but I bet you Brian Burke has a Twitter account that he doesn't tell anyone
that's
it's him.
The real Brian Burke.
Right. I bet you most of these guys, because it's to follow industry insiders and other – I don't know why you wouldn't. It's such a good resource. But you can't tweet from them, right? You got to just be anonymous spec, and it may burn your ass up to see somebody ripping you, but you got to slam your laptop shut and walk away. But I bet you way more executives than we think have these secret accounts that they use to follow their fan bases.
And as somebody who you are expecting to lead your franchise, you got to hope that they have that grain of integrity that says – yeah, don't do that.
Shut up. Just shut up. No, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You mean don't have those accounts or don't tweet from them?
Don't tweet from
them. Yes, okay.
I
want my guy to have the account. I want him to know what's going on.
Okay, but to have the stones to not,
yes.
to not go, yeah, fuck you.
Right.
Matt Robinson, blah, blah, blah.
At Tall Can Audio with your hate tweets.
sitting in your house in wherever. Shut up, man. You don't know shit. Yeah.
Are we still talking about?
No, I've sort of
gone. It's more personal now.
I've gone sideways.
Yeah, you know what? I think this is one of those things that is probably pretty common across the industry in terms of having them, but being so maybe thin-skinned or.
Right. More social media, right? We talked about it and it's just, there's a great resource, as you said, right? But you got to know how to use it, right? And you got to err on the side of caution. It's got a way greater possibility of biting you right in the ass.
We talked about him, I think, on the last Talk and Sports. Dave Lazo put out a great tweet that said, I want to believe that NHL GMs have burner accounts. Like, Lou Lamoriello tweeting at NHL players, your beard sucks. Should get rid of the beard.
Hey,
right?
Dude, your beard is weird.
Or, you know, Pete Chiarelli tweeting at Erik Karlsson, you should play more like Chris Russell, right? Like things like that.
or you should have a flow more like mine.
Oh, awesome. But like all these NBA personalities, players, Blake Griffin was getting in on it, different NBA reporters, they're all out there having a good laugh at it and saying, oh, I'm actually a secret account for so-and-so and whatever. In the NHL, this would be such a just stone-faced. I don't know why Brian Colangelo, this isn't a court of law thing. This is a court of public opinion thing. Why wouldn't you be out there in front of the media? You know, and if it was a legal thing, you'd go, don't say anything. You got to. Just get out there and laugh it off. Look at these idiots. No, I don't have secrets. Like,
yeah.
But most of the rest of the league reporters and players or whatever are having a blast with it. And the NHL is just so stodgy.
Okay, right? So just great segue right in that point, right to the whole Rick Westhead thing and
okay.
on SportsCenter and they're running with that. And the idea of court of law versus not court of law.
So Rick Westhead this week, all five nights on SportsCenter and on TSN.ca, they have had clips and articles about the ongoing legal proceedings between former players in the National Hockey League as it relates to concussions and CTE. And they've somehow, I'd love to know how, gotten hold of video clips of some of these depositions, all kinds of quotes, and it's not making the league look very good at this point.
I'm not surprised that they've got a hold of them. I'm a surprised that they've got a hold of them this quickly.
Yeah. Well, and you wonder, you know, Sportsnet has the national broadcast rights. If TSN still had them, would they run this?
No,
and would Sportsnet
of course
be the
not. That's
running
honestly,
the...
I thought that myself too.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the outside. It's a little cold.
We can do some real
It's a little
recording.
Cold out here, but guess what? I'm taking shots, baby.
Yeah. No, it's true. So there's been some really uncomfortable stuff for the league being uncovered, and lots of prominent owners, league executives, management being painted in some pretty bad light by their own words and by their own videos.
And you know what? And it's just a movie, right? But I watched Concussion with Will Smith, and it is just a Hollywood movie,
yeah.
Right? Based on some on a true story, but it is still a sort of dramatization
yeah.
Of the actual. But you leave that movie sickened by what the NFL was doing.
Right.
Right. Turning their back on what they knew was happening.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, fucking guys, man. The filthy lucre, right? That's that whole.
Yeah, you used that in an email to me. I didn't know what the fuck that was.
It's all for the money. Right.
Oh,
it's
yeah, okay.
all for the money. And you're willing to just turn your back and go, Matt. Sorry about your long-term health.
Who have heard that before?
Yeah.
Have just, another chip.
we're just gonna wring this next 3 years out of your life.
Yeah.
And sorry down the road, whatever happens to you, right? They knew what was happening.
Yep.
And at times they were saying, yeah, we don't care. We'll deny it. We know it's happening, but we're willing to. It's an acceptable risk for us.
Right.
And that's what the NHL is doing right now.
Yeah, and so it should be pointed out the NFL is no longer doing that because they have already settled
on an $870 million lawsuit.
Almost a year's worth of TV revenue anyway.
Yeah, wow. Where are they ever going to recoup that? Oh, wait, hello.
Got it the next day.
Yeah, sorry about that. And you know what? The NHL is not in the same.
No.
But you know what? They need to come clean and say, okay, you know what? In the 50s. No helmets. Man, Craig McTavish was wearing no helmet in 1990.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, we didn't know, but we get it, right? This is a league we ran.
As soon as you do, and I know you know, as soon as they admit to knowing what's up, knowing that there is a connection, that all comes into court with you, and all of a sudden you owe...
Yep.
these players a pile of money that have come back to sue you. And
yep, they're going
to
pay a pile of money.
For now, as long as you keep saying the science isn't there yet, they haven't proven this connection yet between head injuries and later in life dementia and things like that.
That or killing your family, those sorts of things.
Sure. You know, that can't be used against you in a court of law as long as you're still fighting over that, right? As long as you're fighting over that, you can't fight over how much money I have to pay you.
And right.
That's still what. And so they look terrible. These videos of Gary Bettman saying, well, the punch from a guy standing on solid ground with a glove on is not the same in the
terra
occasion.
Firma.
Yeah. Not the same as the occasional fight. Yeah. When that boxer falls and hits his head on the mat. Little different than the guy who falls and hits his head on the fucking
yeah. How about George Parros,
face down,
swinging around, and then
yeah,
getting struck, and then the first thing that hits the ice is his face.
And it just, man, it looks bad. I don't know if you saw the most recent one, most recent at time of recording. It was Tuesday. They're talking about this poster that the league and the PA was going back and forth on what poster was going to get hung in the locker rooms in terms of these are some symptoms, these are some things you should come forward with, don't return until you're ready. And the NHL insisted that they were going largely off one that the NFL had used, and it said one of the long-term causes was dementia and, you know, some of the really serious possible later problems. And the NHL was insisting, we don't want to tell people that just one concussion might cause dementia. We don't want to. And so they're fighting to get that removed. And they eventually won. And apparently there was an internal memo that went from two different NHL offices via email that said signs, symptoms of a concussion, feeling like a giant fucking pussy.
Ooh.
So that gets uncovered. And all of a sudden you're looking around, and I'm going to throw some names out. We don't know anything. This is all. But you look at those types of, you know, Coley Campbells and whatever, that we don't know who sent what. I'm not saying. But those old school hockey guys, right, that are having some fun with this poster, and I guess we'll do it because we have to. But here's the real. If you have a concussion, you're just a dick who, you know, doesn't want to play for his team, right? Yeah. Doesn't follow the code. You're just a pussy. Yeah. And there's so many things that have been uncovered in this series that make you go, well, how man, about, fuck this league.
How right? about Mark like, Napier, who was head of, I don't know, player safety, or he was part of the Players Association?
On the PA side, yeah.
And he's forwarding emails from guys trying to get other guys on board with a lawsuit.
Yeah.
He's forwarding it on to the NHL. Yep. Hey,
fuck
man,
you, man,
are you really looking after our best interest?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. And that's this is the league that I love.
Well, this is the sport that I love, right?
Yeah, okay. Like, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you go, and that's why I made the earlier comparison to the NFL. You're
yes.
like, yeah, you know what, douchebags. You look and go, this is going to rip the top off of and expose the NHL ownership, guys like Jeremy Jacobs,
yeah,
right, who's owned the Bruins since the mid-70s.
Right.
And going, CTE?
Never
heard I don't it. Know what that is. That's three letters in the alphabet. I know that.
So either you're a lying piece of shit or you're a horribly negligent owner who doesn't know what's happening with his product, his assets, his players are his assets, right?
Right.
You should want to know about that.
And the Wirtz is in Chicago and the Jacobs in Boston.
Yeah.
And Snyder in Philadelphia, rest his soul.
Sure.
They knew everything.
Yep.
There wasn't anything that didn't happen in their teams.
That's right.
That they weren't aware of. Don't even for a second believe that these sharp businessmen are leaving any stone unturned. It's shameful, really.
Honestly, and it really is. And you know, we've had this conversation before, and I know you feel similarly to what I do on it in terms of on far less serious issues. I love this game. At times I really fucking hate this league, right? Like, and usually yep. it's about poor officiating or stupid scheduling or whatever. But when you look at these guys, and there's video of them, and you can just tell they're talking out of their asses. And you just go, we all know you're fucking lying because you have to save some. Yeah. Glenn Sather at one point, there's a video of him going, someone asked him, is there a reason not to maybe go and conduct some more tests on this type of thing? Yeah, I can think of 2 or 3 million more reasons. Yeah, because it's going to cost you fucking money. I get it, right? But
yeah,
at least that was honest.
Like, yeah, well, that's slats.
For sure. But it's just been gross. And so the whole thing, depending on when you listen to this, it's been running all week on SportsCenter and all the video and all the write-ups. It's all been great work done by Rick Westhead at rwesthead on Twitter. And you can find it, like I said, all at tsn.ca. And there is, as we talked about earlier, a little spite to it, I'm sure, from TSN. Sportsnet wouldn't do this as the national rights holder. And let's not kid ourselves, if TSN was still the national rights holder, they wouldn't do it either. So
no,
but it's been hoof, man.
Hey, how about the idea that don't call 5-minute majors because that just draws attention
yes.
to stuff. 2 minutes just goes unnoticed. 5 minute majors, that draws attention. Don't do that.
Yeah, if you call a 2 minute penalty, fans will all go, well, at least you got a penalty. If you call 5 minutes, go, ah, look how bad it was.
That was terrible. Anyways, that's the kind of shit that happens. That's coming down from the league.
They really think we're all pretty stupid.
Well, and I think those all sort of go back and they get attracted and they collect against Colin Campbell.
Kind of looks that way. Like, yeah. He's been involved in a lot of this, right? Like,
so
in different positions. And
Coley.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
They're all in trouble. They're just fighting it off for as long as they can. It's going to cost them big bucks. And you know what the next one is? And it's going to be bad, man. Now that the NFL has copped to it, is the CFL, because they're not going to be able to afford the same payoff that the NFL did. And it's coming there next, because the game's no different.
For
it's
sure.
It's just as physical up here.
And you look at what's happening here now, where they're saying you're only allowed X number of, you know, full contact practices. Yep. Nothing after a certain period in the year.
Right.
Everything is being slated towards just those sorts of things, limiting it moving forward, right? Addressing the issues.
Well, and I'll share this one specifically as we kind of circle around and wrap this up. The Brian Burke clip from his, he's indignant sitting back and going, this game was never designed to be safe. There's no way of doing it. When it's safe, fans don't want to see the safe version. Players don't want to play the safe version. This is the way it is. And football, at its core, is very much like that. Because you don't have to be rung in the head to get a concussion. It hit hard enough in the chest and it throws your head back, or your head bounces off the ground, or you're... Man, the more we know about this, I really believe the more uncomfortable a lot of sports are going to get for us to watch. Because I don't know how you're going to clean them up totally.
Well, you have
to. And if you're going to, will it just be a thing where we all just understand the risk and watch uncomfortably? You and I have talked about this before. Bret Hart said years ago, professional wrestler, right on off the record, as UFC was blowing up, they said, what do you think of it? He goes, I get it. I don't love it. And he goes, one day something's going to happen that makes you all wish you were watching that fake thing I did. And you kind of go, maybe, yeah.
Would that thing you were watching, would that be the Pennington Nunez fight?
Well, we've now seen that, right? Raquel Pennington comes back after the fourth round, I believe,
yep,
of a title fight, and tells her corner, I want to be done. I'm done. I want to be done. And her coach, sorry, did I just...
Yeah. No, that is exactly right. She said, I'm done. And yeah. Then he said, no. You got to go out. And she said, I want to be done.
Yeah. And her coach, and we've seen it across MMA, people take very hard stances on both sides of this that say you wouldn't understand unless you've been in it. You've got to trust your coach. They know what you're capable of, and you're tired and you're whatever. And other people going, once a fighter, once someone in that dangerous a situation says, I'm done, they're done. And she came back out from that after her coach telling her she could do it and got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
And it was ugly.
There was lacerations. Her
nose was already broken when she said, I'm done.
And then split in half, I think, after that.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you...
Yeah, you know, and I think part of it's the optics of male coach sending woman out.
Right.
I think that's a huge issue. You and I talked briefly because we wanted to discuss this on air.
Right.
I think of GSP John Fitch.
Oof.
The look of John Fitch at the end of that match, he was busted up and he was ugly.
Yeah.
Not much was said about that.
Yeah, and I get that.
And to me, I think part of the outcry of this is you have a woman fighting a mannish woman.
Do you think that's as much it? I tend to think it's more your earlier point of it being a man sending a woman back out.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's all it's the nuances of the whole thing.
Right.
Right? You've seen a number of guys... With honestly, faces that look like they've been hit by a shovel, right? And you don't, you go, well, that's a savage sport. That's what you signed up for, buddy. And then you see a woman and you go,
yeah,
that's savage. That's something's wrong with that. And okay, and I'm not saying something's not wrong with
sure.
it. Sure. I'm saying I think if you're against it, you should be against it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, even her opponent had said, you know, she clearly shouldn't have been sent back out. But I, in these similar situations, I trust my coaches implicitly.
Yeah, finish that fool.
Right. Well, I think she's implying if she had been in that situation, I trust my coaches to say whether I can go back out there or not.
Yeah. Now, that being said, she got smashed for the four rounds.
Yeah.
Right? She wasn't winning that fight.
But if you're obviously, I've never been in a sport like this, right? But I got to think if you're – it's a fight. Someone's going to fuck me up. Once someone says I'm done,
yep,
it's got to be done.
Yeah,
that's the side I fall on. I can't send you back.
And I'm having two different discussions here.
Yeah, I understand.
One is people are – there's a huge outcry about the optics of her looking at her and her saying, I'm done. No, go out. You can do this. You can.
Right.
Whereas what he's saying is he's like doing what any other coach in any other sport
has done. Talk you back up.
Is trying
to
talk
you
up.
This.
One shot. This is – you are one shot from a championship.
Yeah.
And the reality is she's defeated. And four rounds has shown she's been beaten down by a superior fighter.
Right.
Right. At that point, you go, yeah, okay, you know what?
You are done.
You are done.
Right? Mentally, you're done. And that's at that point, that's the only part that matters.
Right. So there's the optics of that.
Yes.
And then there's the coaching aspect of it. Whereas I think that's a misplay all the way through.
Yeah. And I do believe many of these MMA athletes who say that you don't know how often she, for lack of a better word, quits in practice. Right? Maybe he knows there is still more in the tank. You don't know what their relationship is like. But
for sure.
In this type of situation, she's getting her ass kicked and she says she's done and you send her back out and she gets fucked up. You're going to look terrible. Right?
Right.
And so I do agree with you. There's a bit of a double standard here that would so many people be up in arms if it was John Fitch again.
Not even close. And but, to me, that is the overriding issue here is that you are looking at a woman with a smashed, irreparable face.
Yeah.
And people are saying, oh my God, that's the fairer sex. Yeah. Okay, you know what? That's somebody who does this for a living like everybody else.
But I think both of these can be true.
Of course.
Right? That it's
a double
standard.
Of course they can.
And it was a mistake.
Yep, yeah. For sure. And you see it all the time, right? Guy with an injury. You know, don't send that guy back out. Don't send that player back out.
Right.
Right? Wham. Oh.
Shouldn't have sent him back out.
Should have sent him back out. Shouldn't have done that. But you did. Right? So I think I don't totally blame the coach. I think okay, let me reel that back in. It is his responsibility to look after the well-being of his athlete.
Yes.
If he is trying to – now, you and I both coach and have coached different sports. There's times where you get caught up in it, right?
Yeah.
Where you make a decision that maybe in hindsight wasn't the best. That's what happened here.
Looks like.
He's trying to coach him up, trying to coach her up. When reality, he should have stepped back and went, yeah, okay,
Yeah.
Next time, kid, next time.
Fighting's just such a different animal, right? And maybe some athletes with a busted face can keep going.
Yeah, but
if they're mentally telling you I'm done, they're done. You can't go back out there. Right,
because right. if your will to fight is no longer
in
there.
Against
an honest.
A fucking killer.
An honest to goodness killer in Nunez.
Yep.
Right? That's just trouble waiting to happen.
Covered a lot of ground here, man, from the Avs, maybe off-receding Mark Stone, all the way to heavy stuff.
Seems like a different show, doesn't it?
Honestly, man. Probably a good time to wrap this up. You can interact with us.
I'm tired anyways, so.
I get that. Lots of people are. If you're tired of me, you can let me know at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Check out the Patreon feed. It's been totally revamped, as we mentioned earlier.
I love it.
Patreon.com/TallCanAudio.
See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.